Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're talking all things Marvel, which is an enormous topic. So we'll probably do multiple episodes spanning this over, you know, however long of a time. But today we're opening it up. We are so excited to have a very special guest with us, Taya Miller, cosplay wizardress, craft queen, Marvel extraordinaire. Thanks for being here with us live.
Thanks for having me. Hi, guys.
Do you want to tell us anything about yourself just to reintroduce yourself? She was on her Gen Z versus Millennial episode. Which was a lot of fun. If you missed it, you should go check it out. But anything you want to just like tell people?
Hey. I'm just a girl.
In an ordinary world.
Living in a world, you know. No, I'm Taya, and I'm specifically on this Marvel episode because I feel like a lot of the brand that I have built around or built for myself on social media has a lot to do with Marvel. So we're here to talk about it.
Nice. Well, we're so excited to jump into Marvel, but first, as always, we're going to go into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News. We're going to open today with Today and Taylor Swift. And, you know, she was at the game yesterday, the Chiefs game. I missed all the stuff because I was editing. Did you see? Were there any good things?
She was very mad.
She was mad?
They lost.
Oh, no.
She was also wearing Brittany Mahone's jacket. She borrowed it from her.
How do we know it was Brittany Mahomes?
Because Brittany Mahomes was wearing it last year when she was pregnant. And it's the same jacket. So they're on that level of bestie now.
I mean, I think they're just like, they're new friends. They're new close friends. I love that Taylor went to Beyonce's premiere, the Renaissance premiere, and she wore like a disco ball dress, like a classic mirror ball.
Did you feeling. See the snake?
Okay, I actually saw another post where it's like they actually got the design and it was actually a leaf. It just looked like a snake.
Damn it, I thought it was a snake.
No, wait a minute.
That's what on Taylor Swift Twitter, they all got excited and then someone was like, no, it's not actually a snake. We were really clowning on it.
You know, I kind of like that better, honestly, because I was like this was like Beyonce's moment, and then she showed up with the snake, and I was a little like, you know, this, you know, so I'm happy it wasn't a snake.
There's this iconic photo of Taylor and Blake Lively. It looks like Blake was her date to the Renaissance premiere, and Blake is like prom photoing her almost from like behind with her hand on her thigh. Yeah, and it's become a meme like instantly. And I love that Ryan Reynolds posted a version of it on his Instagram with his face and Travis's face over Taylor.
Travis's face?
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know.
Yes, over Taylor and Blake's faces.
I thought he just put his face on there twice.
No.
No.
I just thought it was
that's
the same
so funny.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Guys, do you think
great.
Taylor and Travis have been together longer than we've been aware of it?
No.
A little bit. Just a tiny bit. I think they've just been talking a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I think like we are seeing like a lot of their first date stuff. Mm-hmm. IRL.
Well, he talked about it on New Heights, how it was like
they were talking, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think it was like anything serious yet. Like they were just texting. And then she just showed up at the game.
He talked about it openly, how he wanted to give her his phone number on a friendship bracelet. And then someone on her team like knew of him and then got his number and then gave it to her.
Yes. Well, okay. Another thing that dropped this week, the Jack Antonoff posted, because You're Losing Me finally got streaming on all the platforms. And Jack Antonoff posted that she wrote it in like December or November of 2021.
December 5th, 2021.
Okay, December 5th, 2021. You know the exact date.
I'm really good at dates.
I usually am, but I've been so preoccupied. I missed it. But yeah, so I mean, she's been having issues with Joe for a long time, as we know if we dissected folklore.
You did, not me. I was this is just little stories. They're fine.
But it's just very confirmed by the fact that Jack clearly didn't love him at that point for him to even post about it. now.
There was also Miles Teller's
wife. Yeah, she liked a TikTok talking about this, which means confirmed.
Yes.
That wait, what?
Okay.
I don't know how it all went.
Okay, is her name Kelsey Teller? Or no.
Kaylee
Teller? Something like that. So someone made a TikTok about how clearly Joe was messing with our girl for a long time because of all these posts that came out when You're Losing Me came out, like all her friends posting. And then his wife liked that TikTok. So it was confirming. Yeah. Basically that what she was saying was kind of accurate.
Oh, Jack.
Yeah. I need her to go watch my folklore videos so she can like that and confirm my theories. Natasha, what do you have for us today?
So Taylor was named Spotify's top global artist of this year.
Yes!
She got like a little posters like around, I think.
They were all over the place. Spotify posters that and added up to one big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently, so I got in the top 2%. On Spotify.
I was on the top 3%.
Yeah, she was my number one. What did you get?
I know, I'm kidding. Oh, I don't even have Spotify.
That's right. Last year I was in the top.
I was the top 0.052. Yeah, the folklore year, I think mine was, though. I don't remember what it was last year.
Last year was, because all I listened to was Taylor Swift and the Bridgerton unofficial musical. But apparently you had to listen to over 300,000 minutes of Taylor Swift music to be able to get into that top percentile again.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of competition right now, especially this.
I know. A lot of people were messaging me when I posted that I was slipping because I got 3%. They were like, the whole world's listening. So I think it's a little harder to be in the top 3%.
Yeah.
Well, we did it. High fives.
Except for her.
Well, she was still in your top, even though you didn't have Spotify. Liam's top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I infiltrated my boyfriend's Spotify Wrapped this year. Taylor was, I think, was she his top artist?
Yes, she was his top artist. I just rewatched the video. Yeah. And my greatest achievement was getting Taylor as Cole's top artist, which is my best friend's husband, because I would just blast Taylor in their house when I was house-sitting.
Nice.
Oh, and Katie your brother, too.
Oh, yeah, and Alex.
Yes. Oh, yeah, your brother. Mm-hmm. Katie says she was in the top 1%. Katie, congratulations. Slay, Katie. Amazing. Wow. Amazing accomplishments in this year, our Lord 2023, Taylor Swift. Do you have anything else, Natasha?
No,
that Taya, what have you got?
I'm veering from the Taylor Swift conversation. Sorry, guys.
Do it.
So
we need to mix it up.
Sabrina Carpenter. I don't know if you guys are fans of Sabrina Carpenter.
I fucking love Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes. she's on my radar now. She just won the Rising Star Award. Oh my god, that's a
Britney Spears song. She's on my radar.
Didn't she just do a Sabrina? No, or a Britney.
Sabrina did a Taylor cover. She did Taylor. No, yeah, what's I know you were trouble.
But yeah, she won the Rising Star Award. And
oh, amazing! Really wait, her. From where? Who
from
gives that?
Variety.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So she is rising star.
She is, and I'm so excited to see where she is. She's such like pop girl princess.
I know.
Also, if you guys have ever like smelled her perfume, I abide by it. Is
okay. It sells out best. So fast that you can't buy it. How did you get it?
Amazon.
Duh. Oh, it's on Amazon?
Yeah, it is on Amazon.
How does it smell like?
Candy?
It's kind of like it's shaped like a chocolate bar. It's like candy, but with like vanilla, and it's warm. Like it's not like sweet, but it's like sweet.
Oh, I like vanilla essence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, oh God, it's so good. I wear it every day.
I need it.
Scents. Do you want to smell me? Do you want
to? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's you.
I need to smell you later.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I'm so jealous. I'm so far away.
If you're not watching this live, we are actually recording in person
all together in my apartment an hour and like 5 minutes later than we were supposed to start because of so many technical difficulties, but we're doing it good.
Yeah, it was a struggle bus because We're recording also in 4K.
Katie's bringing up that Sabrina Carpenter said Jesus was
a carpenter. Okay, this is news. Okay, so her Feather music video is filmed in this beautiful church, I think in New York City. And in the church where she's filming, there's like all these coffins for like relationships that have died. And she like kind of murders men in the music video. And the priest that allowed her, gave her permission to film in that church, got fired. He like excommunicated.
What?
Honestly, like that priest, pastor, whatever, it kind of slay. Like I'm I love him.
I know.
Thank
for
you.
Letting her. Yeah. Yeah. It was her best music video. Yeah. It really had Gaga vibes. And I loved it.
Yeah, they asked her, like people were asking like to make a response, and her response was Jesus was a carpenter.
Yes. Yes. It was a great response. Like Sabrina Carpenter Icon should living. Be allowed. She's basically related. Last on the news doc today, if you haven't heard the last 50 weeks, I'm an author and my third book, Attached at the Hip, is a Survivor spinoff-y rom-com. It's basically like this girl fresh out of college. She is, you know, fresh out of college trying to adult, and she ends up applying to be on Survivor, and then she ends up on a spinoff version where you're attached at the hip, literally, and she ends up attached to the hip to her high school crush who she hasn't seen in 4 years, and they're competing together to win $1 million, and it's a fun, fun ride, and it's available for pre-order now, and pre-orders are really important, and the link is in the show notes if you're interested and want to support my life as an author. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, we're going to roll into our main discussion because we want as much time as possible there. But first, I got to take a second to thank all of you listening out there and watching. If you don't know, we have a visual version of every episode. We're in high def today, so if you want to check it out on our YouTube, youtube.com/@those forking fangirls. You can subscribe there for free so you never miss a visual episode. Please leave us a comment with any of your thoughts today, your hot takes. We're doing some Marvel hot takes today, yeah. And I'm excited.
Me too.
I am pumped.
I'm ready to throw hands.
Throw hands? What is that? A Gen Z term?
Oh, it is a Gen Z term.
What is it?
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I'm going to fight. I'm going to throw hands.
Throw? Okay, when you fight, you use your fists.
Which are your hands.
Yeah. But you, when you say throw hands, it sounds like this, like flopping your hands around. Like a girl like fight. A like a slap play. Like in Friends when they're like...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, sure. Run with it.
All right. I've learned a new term. Okay. So we're going to throw hands during the Marvel discussion today. But before that, thank you all. We already started this. Thank you all for listening. We couldn't do this podcast without you. If you haven't already, we'd really appreciate it if you followed us on your favorite podcast app for free. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/@those forking fangirls. And we have 3 different tiers. The thing that we do every single week is a half an hour show called Fangirl Tea Time, and that's at the $5 tier and up. And then there's 2 other tiers with lots of fun perks in exchange for your subscription, which is how we run the show. It's a viewer-supported show, so we really, really appreciate you joining our community over there. If you're already part of it, thank you. You make our world go round, and we love you so much. Our community over there is just like the most fun. So we're very, very grateful. And if you want to join our community, the link's in the show notes. All right, so we're going to open this up like we've opened up all of our fandoms. How did you first get hooked into the Marvel universe? And I want to know, like, do you remember the first Marvel movie you watched, your feelings, your thoughts? Kick us off, Taya, our guest. Your origins of Marvel.
My origins of Marvel. You're asking the person with, like, the worst memory ever.
She does have the worst memory.
Literally
ever.
The worst. And unless it comes to dates of Taylor Swift news,
oh,
then it's right there.
She's a date-specific mind.
Yeah. I think my first Marvel movie was... The first one that I remember after I gained consciousness as a child was probably Fantastic Four.
My God.
What?
Wait, which Fantastic Four?
The 2005, 2007.
Okay, with, like, the with one
Jessica
with...
Alba.
With... The Captain America in
yes,
it. Okay.
Yes, Captain America guy.
Chris Evans.
I was obsessed with those, and my brother and I watched them. It was like the CD that lived in my parents' van.
The DVD.
The DVD, thank you. The DVD that lived in my parents' van. Like, that is what we watched all the time commuting everywhere. So I would say those are like the main origins, but like, I think Iron Man was probably the big MCU starter. Like, oh, I watched that, and like the I Am Iron Man, I was like, oh, this is my man right here.
Yeah.
So probably those. And the character that got me hooked into Marvel, obviously, was Iron Man. So
nice. Mm-hmm. Natasha, what about you?
Oh, I'm going way back to X-Men.
Oh.
I know this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but X-Men was like, because my family was just, we loved all those like big franchise films. And I remember the second one, it was very special because I think I was on like a Girl Scout trip, and then my mom and Alex went to go see the movie without my dad and I.
This is one with Anna Paquin in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Hugh Jackman. And once I came back, I was so sad. I'm like, what do you mean you saw it without me? I want to go watch it. And my dad's like, no, we're going to go to dinner together. And so he took me on like a daddy-daughter date.
Oh.
Went to Islands.
I'll cry right now. That's so cute.
We love Islands, yeah. The burger restaurant.
And then we do. We're big fans. And then we watched the movie. And I just remember like he took me in his like fast car.
Oh.
It was so sweet. And I was obsessed with Jean Grey at that time. So
who?
Jean Grey.
I'm still obsessed with Jean Grey.
I love her. Wait, is Jean Grey Anna Paquin?
No.
Who's Jean Grey?
Jean Grey is
Halle Berry?
Famke Janssen?
Yeah.
Famke Janssen. I don't know that
Anna
name.
Anna Paquin is, I don't know.
She's the blue one.
No.
Is she the blue? No, she's like the stripe. The Thunderbolt. Rogue. Oh. Katie. Got it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know this actress. Sorry, guys. I feel like Marvel or just superheroes and like nerdy things in general, whenever I post about like my relationship with my dad and how he introduced me to it, I get so many girls that comment and they're like, my dad also got me into it. I just think it's the sweetest thing. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if Spider-Man counts as like my first intro into the universe, does it? Like Tobey Maguire?
It's not MCU, but like,
yeah.
Well, wait. Is it technically MCU now?
Yes, it is.
It is because it's in the MCU. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, that would technically be mine, but like the intro into like the Marvel universe when it really started
was
definitely Iron Man. Yes. Like I remember just hearing so much about this movie and I was not interested in it at all based on the title. Iron Man? Like, first of all, like, I just picture the Iron Giant, and I was not a fan of that cartoon. And I, like, pictured him turning into a robot, like a Power Ranger or one of those transistors. And I was like, I don't want to watch that. But once, I don't think it was out on streaming. There was no streaming. So in 2008, when I was, like, a freshman in college in my dorm, not talking to anybody, just like waiting for college to come to me, and it wasn't happening. It was the age before streaming, but when like some channels had streamers on their like websites, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were all these sites that like just had movies on them, but like you'd have to find the right link. You guys remember that age?
Did you illegally watch?
I don't know.
That's what it
maybe
sounds like you're saying.
Do we need to cut this?
Are you talking about like TNT and like TBS? Like those?
No, I'm talking about a site.
Oh, so you will legally watch.
So this is the thing. I was a poor college student and there was no other way to watch it. It was out of the theater and it wasn't on DVD yet. Okay. So, or maybe it was and I couldn't buy the DVD. Either way, I watched it in bed alone in the depths of the night when I like wasn't out on a weekend.
In the dark of the night.
And I fell in love with Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, girl, don't even get me
like
started.
I didn't even know him before that. And then I like went down a rabbit hole to find like all the stuff he had done before and like watched Chaplin and got
oh, wow.
I was obsessed with Chaplin because with Charlie Chaplin. Well, I was learning about him too because I was a film major. Mm-hmm. But like I was like, oh my God, the Chaplin movie though and Robert Downey Jr. So that brought me in and I was then interested in seeing every other Marvel movie, but I wasn't like obsessed yet. Like with seeing them. Because it got to the point where we were like, you have to go to every movie the second it drops.
Yeah. But it wasn't there yet. Did you see Iron Man in theater?
I don't think so. I don't.
I did.
You did?
I remember very, very vividly because my dad was talking about it.
Yeah, my dad was talking about it too because it, dun, dun, like the soundtrack was like my dad's music. Yeah.
And it came out in 2008. And so I was in eighth grade.
Oh my God, Puttlocker Nicole. Wow, that's the name of it. I completely forgot about the name Puttlocker. That's the site.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Stop.
That's so funny.
No, I remember going with my whole family to watch Iron Man. And then my dad knew what was happening too, like at the last end credit scene. He's like, we're going to make like a whole thing.
Your dad was on top of it.
Yeah, well, Alex was too. So, because Alex was like a big comic fan as well, so he loves Spider-Man. And I remember asking him, like, "Oh, is Spider-Man gonna be in it?" He's like, "No, Sony has it." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Oh, so they both knew what was going on before, like,
yes,
the majority did.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Nicole saying Puttlocker got her through college and. Me too. All right. So I also want to put the foundation here for like the Marvel character that you feel the most kinship with and why. Why do they mean so much to you? Natasha, do you want to kick us off with this one?
I didn't get to talk about Thor in the other.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, though. I'll put him in here.
Okay.
So I feel like the most kinship to everyone who has lost family, which is a lot of the superheroes. Thor towards the end. But like at first I was obviously obsessed with Natasha because she had my name. At first I was like, oh no. No one has my name. But she's so iconic. And I also love Scarlett Johansson. I've watched her since she was like a child actor. I don't know. I was just, she was the only female a part of the MCU for so long. And I just immediately was like, oh my God, I love her. And I love how badass she is. And then like towards the end, I was just devastated.
Yeah. Chair scene was iconic.
Oh, the chair scene.
The intro scene really with the chair. I just wanted to be her escaping that room.
I want to do the chair scene.
Yeah, in the Avengers. Yes.
No, I loved her. And then when Wanda came on the scene, she was a twin.
Mm.
And I was like, oh.
And had lost family.
Like, oh.
Yeah,
she lost him, so that was devastating, and she lost all of her family. So I think the kinship is the losing family, and so Natasha, Wanda, and also Thor at the end too. And I love Thor. Thor was the character that like I didn't really get Iron Man. He was too much like my dad, like too much like tinkering with things, like making things. And then when Chris Hemsworth entered the scene, I was like, oh,
you would.
Who is this? And I remember going back and watching Star Trek because that was his only role prior to Thor. He was in it for a
Star
second.
Trek?
You were in deep.
I was in deep. He was in it for a second.
I don't even know about that.
He played Chris Pine's dad. So he was literally in it for
a
second.
I've actually seen this.
How can he play Chris Pine's dad? They're the same age.
It was a flashback. No, as soon as I saw that first Thor movie and like the cute romance between him and Natalie Portman, I was hooked. I loved it.
Were you disappointed by Dark World?
Oh, yeah. I was totally disappointed. But okay. He looked beautiful in that movie.
But that movie was funny. So I was happy because the first Thor took itself too seriously, in my opinion. And hot take.
Hot take it.
So, yeah, the first Thor took itself so seriously. And then Thor Dark World was funny, you know?
No.
Yes, it was.
Thor
What's her
Dark
name?
World was okay.
It was funny. What's that girl's name?
Oh, dark hair, glasses.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Two Broke Girls. Okay. She's in it. She brought all this levity that would eventually lead us to Ragnarok levity. You know what I mean? Yeah. It brought in the comedy for Thor, and that's what Chris Hemsworth needed to keep going. He wanted that. Yeah.
Don't you remember, like, I like this drink. Another.
That's the only funny part.
And people ran with it.
They really did. Taya, give us your kinship character.
I've been asked this so many times.
We have matching kinship characters.
What I'm going to do. This is going to be so concise because I have it down to a T. But Spider-Man. Peter Parker, I guess, more specifically, mm-hmm. Because like no matter what he's gone through, like he still chooses to be a good person. And that's just like a thing that I live by now. So, yeah.
What about Spider-Man 3?
What about Spider-Man 3? It gets shat on so much. And listen, I'm not that mad about it.
No, like, I'm not. I had fun watching that movie the first time. I remember laughing a lot.
It's good. And everybody's like,
it wasn't until afterward that everyone started saying that it was shitty. And I was like, was it?
It really, you know what? I think Spider-Man fans are just toxic sometimes. So,
but he does go evil for like a sec. But evil in the way where like you turn off the lights when people are still in a room. Like... not that bad.
Spider-Man 3 is iconic. I mean,
it is. The I hair. Agree. The hair. The hair, walk. The dance.
Yeah.
I want to cosplay as Spider-Man 3, the dude, the hair dude.
Oh,
hair,
emo
the
Spider?
Emo. The hair dude.
Emo Peter?
Emo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd love to do that. I love Spider-Man so much. And my reason's a little different. He was the first nerd we saw kind of come into their own and find their confidence and then be awesome. And in the early 2000s, late 90s, that just wasn't a thing. Like, it was in Spider-Man, obviously, but, like, not in main pop culture that we were seeing everywhere. And to see, like, Spider-Man be... Tobey Maguire, like who was really nerdy looking at the time? I feel like it was just perfect casting and the perfect way to like empower the nerds in high school and middle school in that time. And then when I saw like, that's why I was so disappointed when Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man, because in a way he didn't feel like a nerd to me like at all. He felt like the cool kid in my school. And I was like,
are you telling me that Andrew Garfield is not your favorite Spider-Man?
No, she doesn't. Whose favorite Spider-Man is Andrew Garfield?
I love Andrew Garfield.
How can he be over both of all of the other ones?
Have
I seen Andrew Garfield?
Have you seen him, first of all? But have you seen Tobey Maguire's acting, might I say? It's not
in
my favorite.
In Spider-Man?
He's okay in Spider-Man, I guess, but like
he's a perfect Spider-Man. Excuse me. Let's not compare Andrew Garfield.
Okay, no. The difference between
you and me is I have class and you don't.
No, the difference between
She's
Andrew
throwing hands.
The difference between Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire is that Andrew Garfield had all these quick, funny lines that Spider-Man has in the comics. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time.
He's witty.
We didn't get a lot of that from Tobey.
Well, that's why Tom Holland was the perfect one. He had both combinations.
Yes.
He was very funny. And also, he was very nerd. Was that someone
that was
singing? Wait, what?
I was going...
Oh my god, I literally thought it was coming from outside, Tam. I was like, who's singing out the window?
Okay. I think Andrew Garfield's the perfect Spider-Man, and that's where I'm going to end this conversation.
Okay, well, that's fine. You're allowed, and I'm allowed to say Tom Holland's my perfect Spider-Man.
At least it's not Tobey Maguire.
He's not my perfect, no. Yeah, I see.
He's great.
Like,
he's great.
I wanted, like, they are. There's an element of cheese to his movies.
Yes, yeah.
But, like, it's very campy in a way that, like, I can get on board with. Yeah, totally.
It feels very 2000s Spider-Man.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. Like, my favorite Spider-Man by far is Tom Holland, and I'm in love with him. And when he did that dance to Umbrella, I wasn't sure about him. And then I watched that Umbrella dance, and I was like, oh, my God. I'm in love.
He's it, yeah.
I'm in love.
Some person just talked about how that Umbrella dance was very revolutionary for the time, because it was a really a cultural reset to see someone who is playing Spider-Man and dressing as a female and just completely
nailing it.
Yeah. This dance, and we're like, oh yeah,
because he's trained in ballet, right?
He was on Broadway as Billy Elliot, I feel like. He's just like, when a man can dance and flip and stuff, I'm just
when
like,
he's got a little bit of like a feminist touch to him.
Yeah,
like, oh, sign me up.
I just was sold immediately. Yeah. I think that was like right before Spider-Man came out, so it sold everyone on him before the first new Spider-Man came out. It was amazing. All right, We're going to move into our hot takes before we move into our love takes.
Let's we just did get it
love.
Going.
We gave a lot of love out. Now we're going to shell out some hands.
I'm ready.
All right.
Taya. Should we like alternate?
We'll alternate. You can start us off, Taya. All right. Give us your first hot take.
My first Marvel hot take is that I do not want Robert Downey Jr. to come back as Iron Man. Like, even if it's as like a different universe, I feel like
they don't want any other universes. I don't want any other Iron Mans.
That's okay.
Never again.
I'm so over the multiverse thing. I'm like, I don't.
Me too.
I don't want it anymore.
I hate it.
That's also one of my hot takes. Okay, so maybe it's not a hot take.
Take the multiverse away.
Please. It's too much.
It's too much. And it's lazy writing almost because you can do anything. And I don't like it when there's no guardrails because it makes everything not matter.
And I feel like they really don't have like continuity. Like they'll bring back characters as the same actors as the character from a different universe, but then they'll bring back a different actor as a character from a different universe. And I'm like, at least be consistent with it so it makes a little bit of sense. Like Doctor Strange, I think, is a good one, right? Like every other universe, also Benedict Cumberbatch. But then you have, I can't think of one.
And WandaVision, when they bring in other actors.
I mean, Loki. Loki. Then there's like a bunch of different actors that play different variations of him.
And I don't like it.
I just wish that we had like one, just make it make sense.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. Okay, one of my hot takes, I'll just go into it because that's the same thing. Okay. There should not have been time travel in Endgame because it cheapened the story. I hated the way the multiverse was explained because there's so many plot holes. Yeah. And it really, like, it's been so strong in every single movie. The storyline is so strong. And then to see them, like, go back in time and then, like, Cap just appears at the end. I just like it. He goes back. I don't like it because the rules, like, as no matter how many times someone tries to explain it to me, it doesn't exactly make sense. And I want to feel like they solidly wrote this in a way that makes all the sense because every other movie was like that. It was solid and concrete. And this is just like falling through plot holes everywhere you step.
And I think they, I mean, they obviously put the time travel in there because it's set up for the next phases of the MCU.
But the shitty phases.
It also, it makes it feel like what we just witnessed after a decade doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And even
and
though
I hate that.
Loki is trying to set it up like it was the Unbreakable timeline. What was the terminology?
Like it was I don't remember the terminology, it was what it was.
Yeah. So like they were following this timeline and it was the main timeline. So like, yes, they put it into that perspective for us, but it still feels like something can go back and get changed and like, wait, like this has changed and now it's not.
Yeah, it invalidates everything that we've watched happen.
Yeah.
Which, and all that stuff means so much to like the core of the fandom. It's the foundation of like why we love it. Yeah. So to like just erase it so flippantly.
Yeah.
Like hurts and it makes it feel like you can't trust them as much. It's not as cozy because you can't trust what they're going to do to the canon. Yeah.
I did love those sequences that, you know, we got to have a lot of like between Iron Man and his dad.
Yeah.
Like those
a lot of
scenes,
moments.
Those moments were so fun and watching them, you know, try to sneak around. Like it was good to watch, but as far as like the rules being bent, I don't think it was worth it.
I didn't like it. Okay, I'll move on to your next hot take, Natasha.
So my hot take is that the team up at the end of Endgame with all the women was not earned and it felt lackluster because I think Black Widow wasn't there. And also at that time, Marvel hadn't done anything. We hadn't had a female like centered movie at that time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we just have all these women coming together like
that we've never seen before.
Yes, literally. But they did it so well, I think, in
Infinity War. Yeah.
When Wanda was battling the other female villain and then Black Widow's like, I'm here. And
well,
then,
yeah. Well, the villain's like, you're gonna die alone, and she's like, no, she's not.
Yeah.
And it was.
It just so made,
goosebumps.
I just got goosebumps too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to tear up.
I know. I tear up every time I think about it. Every time I see it, like, I remember in the theater, I was like, oh!
Well, and those are like, those are the two girls that we've been with since like really the beginning, yeah, right?
And
like
then,
since phase one, phase
two. Michelle was there.
Okay. Yeah. And Okoye. Just the Okoye. Three of them together kicking ass was so powerful. It was the most powerful female moment we've had in any Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I feel
and
like
then Endgame just like shot on it. They were like, oh, you guys liked it last time? All right. Here's all the
I
girls.
Mean, they tried. But they didn't give us enough.
No. And it, yeah, it was just like, ugh, well, Natasha's not there. And it's sad because she had to sacrifice herself. Yeah. And
yep.
So
it's not the same.
Sad times. Sad times. Should I give us one?
I had to say, Gabby just said Black Widow dying really just killed a lot of the movie for me. And I completely agree. Mm. I kind of was just.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was heartbreaking, but I also feel like it was one of the better ways for her character to go out.
Yeah.
Because she went out in a way that, like, she had acknowledged all of her previous struggles through the time that we've seen her in the MCU.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was, like, a good ending for it.
It was just...
Why would you kill the first female character?
Yeah, it was just the fact that they had no really other fully fleshed out female characters. Mm-hmm. That was really sad about it.
And then they made her solo movie after she died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they didn't give it a good third act. So it was just nonsense at the end. And so you couldn't say it was great because you're like, what happened when they were falling from the sky for 30 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, and the CG. I don't even get me started on the CGI. And the,
oh, my God.
That was so bad. It Florence Pugh, though. 10 out of 10 casting.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
I love her in that role so much. Mm-hmm. That was not her accent. It was more Ukrainian.
All right.
I'm doing Helena from
oh yeah
from Orphan Black. Another hot take I have here is Captain America isn't likable until Infinity War.
I don't disagree. Wait a minute, because no, listen, I was always Team Iron Man. Okay?
Yeah, me too.
And
no.
I
okay, I was real hard.
Captain America has a stick up his butt.
He does. They are not wrong, dude, when they make jokes about the stick up his ass.
Respectfully, you've been gone for 60 years.
Too
all right.
Long,
maybe take a step back and let the people of today's age make some choices. Like,
yeah. I mean, and all, he's just like, he's so stiff until he gets shaved down by Iron Man almost and becomes more self-aware. Mm-hmm. And that's when he starts to get fun.
Yes. Like, yeah.
When he starts making fun of himself, when he says things like, the first bit of it was when he was like, I understood that reference. Where was
Avengers.
That? Avengers. Yeah. So he starts to get there more and more, and then, like, come Infinity War. The entrance of Captain America is iconic.
Oh, yes.
That music and the beard, the new
hair.
Uniform. Oh, my God. I finally was like, fuck, I like him now.
We just needed the character development. Right?
We did. He had a great arc.
He did. He really did.
He really did. Yeah. But yeah, so I did not like the first Captain America movie.
No, it's my most hated movie.
I did not like the second one.
I do not like it.
I don't think it's
the second one is my most favorite movie.
Wait, is the second one Civil War? Or is there another one before that
with the red face guy?
Winter Soldier.
Is that
Winter Soldier, Red Face Guy?
No, Red Face Guy, Red Skull is
That's the first one. Okay. Yeah, I didn't like... I didn't like any of the Captain America movies, to be honest, and that's one of my hot takes.
You didn't like Civil War?
My next hot take is the cinematography in Civil War is too shaky. I can't see anything.
I can't argue with
I don't remember.
Oh my God, it's all I can see. It's like, blah, blah, blah. It's like we're running all the time. It's like the Hunger Games, the first one with the shaky cam.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay. All right, Taya, your turn.
I'm going in.
Hit us.
Okay, I already did two of them because my second one is I'm tired of the whole multiverse thing. okay, this is a hot take.
Okay. I'm ready for it. I got my oven mitts on.
this is like a PG-13 take, maybe a rated R take.
Okay.
So if there's kids watching, don't watch this. Okay. The MCU needs to be ballsy again. And I know that it's harder because Disney owns them now.
Wait, what do you mean by ballsy?
There's explain. More red tape, but like PG. Okay, remember in Eternals when there was like the sex scene, the PG-13 sex scene?
I forget all of Eternals. It went in one ear and out the other.
Fair enough. Okay, so there's like a very brief, like 30-second moment where you see two people and like their shoulders and their head, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, and like there, okay. You can assume. They did the deed, right?
Yeah.
But that was like the most talked about point of that movie. And I'm like, it shouldn't, like if we go back to like phase 1, phase 2, like there were many, many sexual scenes, maybe not sex, but like at least implied.
Yeah, Iron Man.
That kind of like made them was more Playboy thrift adult-y thrift. And more like, remember when Bruce Banner fell into Natasha's boobs? That was a whole thing. It was a little problematic.
A little misogynist.
It was, but it was a thing. It was a thing that happened. Okay. But I wish that they would bring more of that like grittiness back, like have some like F-bombs in there, you know, just make some innuendos.
Yeah,
and
language. I think they're going to be doing that for Deadpool because they kind of have to now.
Yeah. What do you mean they kind of have to?
They always do that in Deadpool.
Well, because Disney owns Fox.
Yeah, but Deadpool's got to have cursing it's rated R.
Yes, but... Now that they have that property, I feel like they could also push the boundaries a little bit more. I feel like they kind of did it for Loki, like the TV show.
What do you mean? They did what? Made him more adult?
Well, yeah, because he's like in love with himself, but a different version of it. And it's like a little weird. It's like kind of like Game of Thrones, like weird.
I guess, yeah. But even then, it's still like not innocent, but it's like, you know, there's nothing that really comes of that. It's just like the statement of, true. Oh, he likes this other version of himself, like...
True.
I don't know.
It gets very philosophical.
It needs to be gritty. I need.
Can you give
me
an example of like grit?
Do we think like? Are you talking about like DC grit?
Like I hate DC grit. No. Are you talking about like grit? Like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's very gritty.
I wouldn't say it's that gritty. There was an F bomb in there.
Oh yeah.
There was a lot of genocide in that movie.
Which yeah, but like that is like something that we're very used to. But I mean like.
Talking about like Dark Knight.
A little bit maybe, or like Daredevil.
Like the Joker.
Have you seen the Daredevil show?
Yeah,
like oh. I'm so worried that they're gonna like not too great with that.
Yeah, I think like, they should let the original people do Daredevil. I don't know why they don't, because they were critically acclaimed and everyone loved
those
it.
Those shows were phenomenal and were way better than what we're getting on Disney Plus right now.
It's because it's Disney. Like it's has to be kind of kid centric, and it's
but it doesn't have to because they own adult properties, so they shouldn't be doing that. Yeah,
but I feel like it is influencing them to make some choices
to round it off more.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's funny though. We're like the Dark Knight. That is like the grittiest.
It really is. It really is.
That's what came to mind.
Fucking love the Dark Knight.
So my next hot take is that Captain Marvel was way too fucking late to the game, and it was not well done, and it was a terrible origin story because
it
wasn't
been an origin story.
It wasn't an origin story. It was just a film to move the plot of Avengers forward because we needed like.
Did we even need it?
Person. We didn't even need it.
Because they didn't give her an origin story. Like every man got their origin story. No one knows Captain Marvel. Like we needed an OG.
Mm-hmm. I am going to dive into this right now. This was later, but I'm so freaking mad about this. Every freaking female origin story that we've gotten in the MCU was either late or is a show. And I'm like, give our girls a proper fucking blockbuster movie.
Who has
gotten
the proper one? Nobody.
I mean, but even then it was released with streaming services. And it was too late.
Wait, she got an origin. Oh, you mean the movie where she...
Yeah, but even, I mean,
but that wasn't an origin story.
It was a little bit of an origin story. But like Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel was... the one of like the best Disney Plus shows, but like it's still a show. It's not a feature film.
No, exactly. And it makes it feel like these characters aren't taken as seriously.
They're not.
Or like aren't as important as the characters who do get their own films.
Of course, because like WandaVision finally, I mean that show was amazing.
It was so good.
And then they made a movie that just erased everything they did with the show and her character.
Mm-hmm.
That Multiverse of Madness which I have down as my most disappointing Marvel movie, shat all over the best development they've ever given a female character in the Marvel Universe.
I mean, those writers didn't even watch WandaVision. No.
Are you kidding me?
They didn't even watch it.
They didn't even do their homework?
They make these shows and not have the writers watch them because there has to be continuity in the world.
Let me rephrase that. They were writing the scripts at the same time. They didn't reference the WandaVision scripts whatsoever. They just made their own story.
You guys have one job. One job. And it's to know what you're doing when you're writing a script. Like,
I mean, that's probably Disney's fault.
You guys have one job. And it's what to know what you're writing about when you're writing a script.
The thing is, like, it's probably not the writer's fault. It's probably the people who were having them write it because they had them write at the same time and they didn't direct them to be like, these are going to be coming out before this and this has to be has to have continuity with
even
the story.
Even if they did know, like, that it was coming out after, I feel like Marvel has been rushing their writers and their editors and everybody so much because they just want to push so many
things out. And they were like, it's a female character that's a side character and they didn't give a shit about it. Like, if this was Iron Man, please, bitch, it would have been so perfect. The continuity of his character, he would have never gone insane because we love him too much. And because it's a female, it's like, oh, whatever. like that's what it is like because it's a side character to them, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sad time.
So angry about it. Give Jennifer Walters a future film. I'm begging you, please.
Who is Jennifer Walters?
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
They didn't give She-Hulk good CGI. I couldn't even watch it.
So mad.
That show was fun, but it could have been a lot better. Okay, I just want to go into my hot take about the Disney Plus shows.
Yes, do it.
Okay, so the Disney Plus shows are not good.
except WandaVision, which is fantastic.
Oh, yes. The reason is because they produced it as a long movie and I don't think they wrote it for television, but like even on like WandaVision, the finale episode was just the big battle at the end. Like it did, I don't think it flowed as well as I wished it had because I don't think they're writing it for television. And they did, Kevin Feige did say that recently, how they are going to start making sure after like the big upset of Secret Invasion, because they had all this expensive talent and it was supposed to be and it just, this show, I didn't even finish it because I was bored.
First two episodes great, rest of it
I was bored.
Wait, which show are you just talking about?
Secret Invasion.
Oh, yeah. I just checked out when you said it, I guess. It's like Secret Invasion.
I said this in the episode prior, but a lot of what they were doing in the shows felt like it didn't have any, like I couldn't trust that they were using that canon for the films. Because of what they did for Doctor Strange. And
for how they messed up Wanda. Like, she wasn't even a character after we went through all that character development in WandaVision. Maybe, and she became...
Maybe they don't take the show seriously, too. The same way don't see them as serious.
Well, because WandaVision was, like, a big deal.
It
was. And because...
It changed a lot.
Yeah. And because they didn't carry it through with Doctor Strange and they just, like... messed up her character and rewound all that really beautiful character development, it kind of set a precedent for the movies not having continuity with the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us not care about the shows because it, like, what's cool about Marvel is that everything was so intricately connected.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't carry over, then what's the point?
And I think because they don't have trust in their audience that they're going to actually watch the Marvel TV shows.
But they still have to, like, write the character the way that they've developed if they put so much time into a whole series about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump back really quick. I found a really good example for, like, what I mean by the grittiness.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when Multiverse of Madness was initially announced and they were like, this is going to be a horror movie?
Yeah.
They backed away from it so hard. Like, there were rumors that it was going to be rated R, and then whenever it came, it was what, like PG-13, and
they
was
still
just
had, like,
not
moments
scary
where they were trying to make it horror, and I was just like, stop.
They need to commit. Like,
well, the thing is also they were making it horror with Wanda as their villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just so disrespectful, I felt like, to the female characters of Marvel that don't exist. And she's the only one that got a good story. Mm. Anyway.
All the female characters either die or become villains.
Again, like, if this was Tony Stark, would they ever give him the villain? You know who actually is becoming a villain? Doctor Strange.
Okay, T.
And like, he's the one who should be getting a villain arc, but he was like a side character in his own movie, and I don't even remember what happened to him. Nothing in the Multiverse of Madness. It's all about Wanda being destroyed as a character.
I keep forgetting it's a Doctor Strange movie, technically. Yeah. I'm like, where?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be about that new character, the one that Sochi America plays. Thomas. They should have just gone. They didn't make a decision. Like, they didn't go all in on anything. Yep. They should have gone all in on her or all in on Wanda in a way that makes sense for what they did with the show.
Yeah. Tiffany, our resident writer on our Patreon says, Marvel doesn't know how to run a TV show. They don't properly use writer rooms or showrunners in a traditional way. Which is what I was trying to get at, and I didn't know how to put it in that way. So thank you, Tiffany. Because that does make a lot of sense on why I think these TV shows aren't as successful and as, I think, copacetic as I wished they were.
Yeah. Can I read y'all some of our listeners' hot takes that they sent in?
Okay. Here we go.
Everything is Tony Stark's fault. Hey, we wouldn't have the Marvel universe as it is without Tony fucking Stark.
That's what I'm saying, okay? Stark. Don't shit on my man.
Stark Industries Stan. All right. Ew, why are you all trying to shit on Tony? Iron Man isn't that interesting? Fuck off. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This is heartbreaking.
He, unlike any female character, has been given a very, very thorough character arc.
Yes.
From playboy philanthropist to, like, really empathetic, nice, caring human who puts his effort into his family before anything else. Jesus Christ. Okay. Eternals is an underrated movie, and there's so many cool things I could see them doing with that. That's from the Mad Shell.
I think I like that because I actually did like enjoy Eternals.
So a lot of people loved it, and then a lot of people hated it. I was very mellow on it.
Yeah, I'm also very mellow, but I'm more confused by it.
Me too.
I think that I'm like, why was this made?
Yeah.
And why is Angelina Jolie one of the main characters?
Yeah. Like, I feel like they didn't go all in on Eternals either. It was like a light skim into the mythology.
Yeah.
Because there's too many characters.
Well, again, we also have characters. That's my biggest thing about Marvel is that when someone else has an issue, we're like, well, why isn't this an Avengers level issue? Or like, now that we have the Eternals and they can literally do
anything,
I'm like, why weren't the Eternals around? Oh, I guess they did explain it in the movie, but I'm like,
also, what about like the giant Colossus or whatever that's just like chilling in Antarctica? Like, is just nobody noticed that?
Oh my God. Like, that's my biggest issue when that happened. I was like, lol, this is nonsense.
Like, it's just so unrealistic. Like, somebody's going to see
you can't buy into it because it's so bonkers.
Like,
how?
It felt very Power Rangy. Power Rangy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm just trying to get a good one here. Okay. Should have stopped after Endgame. Only Spider-Man still popular since. That's from Sierra.
I don't agree.
I think not they totally. Should have taken a break.
Yes, that's what they should have done. Breather. Come back in 3 years.
Or just have your bearings together before you jump into something.
You know what? Yeah.
I can understand that they looked at this formula that they created and they said, oh, we have origin stories. We bring the characters together slowly. We have a big, big together movie at the end of the phase. And then we jump in, we introduce more characters. We have another big together movie. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to follow it
faster,
much faster, mm-hmm. in a way that we can't, as the audience, connect with each individual character as much. Yeah. Yep. And I think faster in the way that the production quality has gotten so bad that I just feel like they care more about the overall story now and the end Avengers movie at the end of the phase more than they care about the individual stories of the superheroes.
Well, yeah, and
the end of the day, the individual stories are what we're here for.
Yeah. It's why we're invested at all.
Yeah.
And if we're not invested, then there's no point in doing the big story. That's why DC like crashed and burned with everything they tried to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for the movie about Harley Quinn, which was really fun.
That was really
and the Suicide Squad. Oh, love that.
Well, okay. Because I think we're in phase 5 right now.
Yeah. I didn't even realize
what
that.
What was phase 4?
I know. Wait, the only good
WandaVision was in phase 4.
I know.
It was wild. Like,
well, and then this person said it should have ended after Endgame, but we have to end after Spider-Man No Way Home.
We need that
at
in
least.
There.
We need that in there. A lot of people saying that Endgame should have been the final movie. No more Marvel movies after that.
Mm. Wow. I feel like Spider-Man, though, isn't even wrapped up. Like, I still want another Spider-Man.
I also feel like it's not wrapped up.
No.
Like, he's.
It made me really sad.
Oh, I want more Spider-Man. Yeah. Wait, we're getting more, aren't we?
I think.
They haven't. They're 2025, yeah. I think, is when they start development. Okay.
Yeah. The Spider-Mans have been consistently
top-notch,
so I'm excited there. Let's see. Katie says solo movies greater than sign ensemble movies when it comes to Marvel. And yeah, I think that's what we were kind of just saying. Hard agree.
It's where the heart comes from. You know,
yes.
The soul.
Yes. I'm trying to find one that's not like depressing. Okay. Adia Rose says they've never known what to do with Hulk. And I agree. And one of my hot takes actually that I didn't say is that I hate Hulk meets Bruce Banner in Endgame.
Oh, it's so Professor Hulk.
What the fuck was that? What's the explanation? How did he become that? What are you just like, I just combined myself, but you were two separate people.
You know, I do think that pays homage to the comics. I think that's why they did it, because in the comics, like he truly, I think he becomes Professor Hulk in it. And so they
but
were
like, we have to see that happen. You can't just skip over
just
it.
Pull up
I was just like, what the fuck is this? When I started the Endgame, I was like, whoa.
One of my favorite things though about She-Hulk is that she immediately becomes like
she can control herself.
And he's like, what, how did you do that so quickly? She's like, because I've been controlling it my entire life,
literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen
hashtag
I know
women slay,
dude. I know that show got so much hate, but my god, it spoke the mind of so many fucking women.
I wish I could have watched it. I don't know if this was in the part that got cut out, but like the CGI burned my soul. She looked like Shrek in 2001.
God. It truly, the CGI wasn't as bad as people made it out to be. I think they just, I don't know. Marvel fans are turning into like Star Wars fans where they just hate everything.
The thing is though, like it's hard when we're used to seeing Hulk in the movies and then you see the Hulk in the show. And it just looks so cartoonish, it completely takes you out of it. Like, they put in so much money into the movies, so they kind of have to be consistent if they're going to bring the same character.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Hawkeye should have died, not Black Widow. I think we kind of alluded to that earlier, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna
but
stay.
Hawkeye had his whole family waiting for him.
I'm going to stay with my opinion that I am happy that Natasha died in the way that she did.
Yeah.
Because it was very fitting for her character. I'm not happy that she died.
That
I
was from
she didn't,
Porter Natalie 51.
I don't like that sentiment that because Hawkeye shouldn't have died because he had a family. Because I feel like,
of course,
both of their lives are just as worthy, even if, I mean, she just found Yelena.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just found her family.
Yeah.
And
it's just like as a movie story construct, they set it up like that for us to like be pulling for him for that reason. I think that's
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Yeah, it's upsetting. It's like the way society views people who have a family versus who are on their own.
Didn't she literally say earlier in the movie too that she had finally found her family, like in the Avengers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, wasn't she saying that, yeah, her family was the Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It was very sad.
Yeah. And I think, like, I think if the Black Widow movie came before Infinity War, that I think people would have been pulling more for
and
Black
if they Widow made it survive. Better.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't get over the end of that movie. I can't. I don't like it because of it.
It hurts me.
All right.
I remember.
So go ahead.
I was just going to continue. We can stay on.
No, you can go. Go ahead. I was just
going to say, I remember, like, sitting in the theater during Endgame, and I didn't cry when Natasha died initially. Actually, I didn't cry the first time around, period.
What?
No.
Wow. What? I came out of that like traumatized. Yeah.
No, I can't. No, I think it was the first time around. No, I remember like sitting in the chair, and it was when Tony Stark died for me. Like that was my breaking point. That's when I could not hold it in anymore. I was literally cradled into myself and like holding in my like
yeah, that was during Spider-Man No Way Home, like next to
just crying. I was like, I cannot believe I'm so invested in a fictional character right now. This is embarrassing.
That's our lives.
I you really do become connected to them.
Yeah, you do. They become real, and that's what's so beautiful about the writing and stuff. You're so invested because they feel very real, and you connect them to people in your own life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to move out of hot takes.
Well, I still had more.
Oh, also roll them out. Roll them out real quick.
Here's my really, just really quick one. This is more of just like, you know what? No, I have two questions for you guys.
Yes.
One, how do you guys feel about Captain Marvel, Brie Larson?
Because the movie didn't make us care about her because we got no origins.
I liked when she came in and saved the day in Endgame and like went through the ship. That was cool.
Yeah.
And I love Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I like Brie Larson as a person.
Dude, that's what I like can't get over is like she gets so much hate online and I'm like, why are we hating on the actress?
Oh,
like
I
when
know.
It's probably the writing.
It's the way that they made it the movie, like about some random incident in her life instead of how she got to who she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she had like 20 seconds of screen time in Endgame too. Like yeah. She came in, saved the day, and that was it. And they were like, yeah.
Like, we need to know about her family and how she was raised and like just mm-hmm. the people that she loved and what happened, her relationships with them. Like, we know nothing about that. We know very little about her best mm-hmm. friend and yeah. her dog.
We haven't seen the Marvels yet, so
true.
We don't know if yeah. that ever came into play.
But it should have been the
it
first
should
movie.
Have been because we yeah. would have been maybe more excited to watched yeah. it.
Do you guys think that like the men that don't like Captain Marvel, like, because there's like a huge conversation around it that like they're like misogynistic and that's why they don't like her?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I feel like that's part of it, of course, but I also feel like she hasn't been given like an endearing story for us to watch. Mm-hmm. So there's also that, which also I feel like is part of the misogyny of the whole MCU, because why didn't she get an origin story?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else did. And people were like, because we're tired of origin stories. It's like, no, we're tired of origin stories for the same male characters over and
literally,
over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every other story we see is a fucking origin story. Every movie you watch is an origin story.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, we don't know those people and we're getting to know them and we're not jumping in. And I obviously it depends on the film, but you know what I'm saying. But I also, yeah, I feel like I don't love her because mm-hmm. I don't know her.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Funny. Like we are different. We're not endeared to her like we were like Black
yeah.
Widow because yeah. even though she didn't get an origin story, like we still saw her interact with our main crew.
Yeah.
We learned with her.
We don't see her at very vulnerable moments of her like human life, which mm-hmm. is what we need to connect with like who she is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's like the Superman syndrome kind of that makes her less endearing because she's all powerful.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's not a big deal right now. I feel like I don't remember her powers and how they work.
but my last hot take, can I say it?
Tell us.
I think Bucky and Natasha should have had a thing.
Oh yeah, they have a thing in the comics.
I know,
girl, read that shit.
I have
there's
I've read the fanfic. I love them. I do think it would be fun if Bucky and Yelena had something.
But that's kind of, I don't know, like him being.
I want Yelena and like Hawkeye, a girl. What's her name?
Oh, Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, Hailee I'd be Steinfeld. So yeah, down yeah, for yeah, that. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why can't I remember her name?
Kate Bishop.
I thought you were about to say Bishop. Hawkeye. I'm like, he's married.
No, Hawkeye girl.
Yeah, Hawkeye girl.
Why is it called? Okay, because no one knew who Kate Bishop was. I was like, why is the show called Hawkeye? I love that show. That's the best Marvel show for me behind WandaVision, and really no good. One talks about it.
It's like a holiday must watch for me now. Like,
yes,
Christmas season, I need to watch it again. Yeah,
I loved it.
Should I have a watch party?
Yes, why not?
Okay, last thing I want to bring up is. Taylor Swift might come into the MCU as the Dazzler. Have you guys heard about that?
I have heard rumblings.
I think she's going to come in like Brad Pitt came in for Deadpool, like, and was freaking...
And then murdered right after. I don't even remember
him. He was invisible and they used his voice and then he died by being electrocuted. I think it's going to be like a little cameo.
Like in that movie where she gets pushed in the street and run over and it's just a meme. Yeah.
I could see like a Harry Styles moment. I feel like she'll physically be there, but maybe like an end credit scene or post credit scene or like just a very quick.
It kind of feels really weird for me to like imagine it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really right now see her doing it because she's like the biggest star in the world.
Literally the biggest one.
She would do it for Ryan and Blake though.
She would do it for Ryan. She would be in his movie. Yeah.
That's what the rumors are.
Oh, is that what the Dazzler is?
Yeah,
it's for Deadpool. Oh, then I think she is doing it. Oh, sorry, I didn't know the name.
Did you see that? Like, she was at the football game with Ryan, and then
the director.
And, like, it's there right in front of her eyes. Like, I feel like it's gonna happen.
Yeah. All right. We're going to roll into some Marvel love, okay? But to wrap up all of our discussion today, we're going to talk about the best Marvel movie ever made. What do you think it is? Taya, you want to kick us?
What if I have two?
You can say them, because I'm going to say two. So,
okay, I'm going to move this over a little bit so I can like see it better. Okay. I think Endgame is one of the best.
Don't even.
I know it's basic, but also controversial at the same time. Okay. All right. People are so.
I don't think because it's basic. I just think the time travel ruined it.
It did introduce time travel into the MCU, which has led to like everything else. Like it opened the window, right? Which
we just talked about. I know,
but it did. It introduced it. Okay.
This feels very contradictory.
It established it. Okay, and it did do that for it. Okay?
It brought in the bad part of the MCU.
Oh my gosh.
And then we got all of like our little moments, all like the little callbacks and like references to the comics, like Cap saying like Avengers Assemble and like him like coming in with, you know,
true,
wielding the hammer. Like these were all like such iconic moments. We already talked about this, but Natasha got her like full circle moment for her character arc. I know you guys don't love it, but I do. Falcon got Cap's shield. And I just feel like it was like the perfect amount of nostalgia and callbacks paired with the proper building blocks and foresight for the future of the MCU.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Valid. It's fine. It's a fine opinion.
And then my other movie that I think is one of the best ones that they've ever made is Black Panther. Not only did we get Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, and then Michael B. Jordan as one of the greatest MCU villains that we have seen on screen, we got a film with cultural significance for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I know that this means so much to so many. Like, superheroes are literally created to be someone or an idea to look up to, and like seeing the impact that this film had on my friends was like fucking beautiful. You know Quiba, right? Mm-hmm. Like seeing the impact on them specifically was just like it changed a lot inside of me to like help, like it helped me understand more about
how that was needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, about what?
About how representation that is needed.
Yeah, yeah.
And very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it was like a trailblazer of a film, and it was the start of more diversity in the MCU, which we're seeing now in phases 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I wish that they in phases 4 and 5 they put more effort into making these diverse movies just as good as the original basis movies. They've been half-assing the past few years.
Yeah. I did like Shang-Chi. I did like that.
It was
one.
Good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they did the same thing where they didn't know how to end it. And it was just like a bunch of nonsense at the end.
Yeah.
that, like, this is what DC does all the time. Like, when they have a good movie, they usually have, like, a good act one and two, and then act three is like, what the fuck's going on? Like, yeah. Like, when you can't bring it home, it kind of, like, it sits weird with you.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. Because, yeah, like, the beginning of Shang-Chi was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I was like,
Sean.
Oh, Shang-Chi, damn it. It was so fun. And then the end, I was like, what's happening?
I know. It was like, it turned into, like, a world-ending thing all of a sudden. And we were like, wait, how did we get here?
And the CGI was kind of all over the place. Yeah. This is a lot. Yeah. All right, Natasha.
Okay.
Best Marvel movie of all time.
Best Marvel movie of all time is Winter Soldier. Okay. That is where we got our director duo.
I'm watching Christine's reaction right now. I'm ready for this.
I love this film because it's a spy film and
because
it's,
Bucky's in it.
And Bucky's in it.
Sebastian Stan is in it.
And Black Widow's in it. And I love the spy filmness of it. Like, it felt very grounded and like I could trust when things were happening that they were either going to be destructive or something or rather. But we have like such amazing sequences in that film that where you don't need a big space battle to feel the impact of it. And I think that's very hard to do in an MCU movie. I mean, the sequence with
Nick Fury
and him in the car against Bucky.
Yeah.
Was such a great scene, and it's still one of my favorite scenes, and him just freaking out and the comedy aspect of it, and also just like that film felt gritty. And then we had amazing soundtrack for Bucky too. Like, I still get chills when he shows up in that Nick Fury scene, and then also when they're just driving on, like, with Falcon and Natasha and driving on that freeway overpass, and he just comes out of fucking nowhere and like stops the car. That whole end sequence is so great. Yeah. And then also like the flirtation with Natasha and Cap is some of my favorite.
I liked that.
Yeah.
That movie was also shot like Civil War with the shaky cam. And I mean, that one, I didn't not like it as much as I didn't like Civil War, but it goes in one ear and not the other too. Every time I watch it, I forget the whole thing.
It's my comfort Marvel movie.
It's a lot of people's favorite. Mm-hmm. I've heard that a lot, and I just like, it doesn't click with me, I guess. I just don't love it like that, but I can see why. I feel your reasons there. All right. So for me, I am a sucker for a movie that like beautifully wraps together a million different character storylines, because that in itself is so hard and so easy to fuck up. And Infinity War is such a triumph, in my opinion, of like a perfect balance of so many different storylines that are so meaningful to us when we watch them. Like, they're all moving. They're all have us on our edge of our seats. Like, that movie was so fucking good. When I got out, I was like, whoa, they did that, and they did it well.
And it was one of the first superhero films that we had seen that didn't have a happy ending, and I think that was like
game-changing. It made an impact.
Yeah. Everybody was like, what just happened?
Yeah, it was so traumatizing at the end, but like in a good way, in the way that like when storytelling moves you, that you just saw something that was really good. Like, just knowing that he actually snapped the thing. I mean, and, like, I think we knew it was going to happen, right? Like, in your soul, you're like, he's going to end up snapping it. It's like a two-parter here. Yeah. Like, but it was so devastating. Yeah. And that, it really left a mark in terms of, like, how good the movie was. But, okay, I also have the first Avengers, because...
Yes.
That's really what got me like super invested, because they're like, whoa, they brought together all these people with individual movies. Like, that's never been done before.
And successfully too.
Yeah. And very successfully. I think that is the most accessible Marvel movie to like any random who hasn't seen any of them. Like, you're going to love all these characters, even if you don't know who the fuck they are at all.
And like, it's the OG six too. Like, it is. They banded them together.
The you know? Banter, the writing is so good in that movie.
Clench up, Legolas.
Yeah, the writing is just so good in that movie, and there's so many iconic moments. Like, I will never forget the first time watching Iron Man and Thor fight, and like, doth thou know, mother know, you wearest her drapes. Like, what a beautiful line. Like, that banter in that scene is perfect, because Thor is like, he's just at the moment where he's starting to turn more comedic. And again, like, Iron Man really rubs off on everyone, like, because Iron Man was funny, like, his whole movie had so much comedy, like, perfectly balanced with all the drama, and everyone else, like, slowly gets funnier as we get into the MCU. And I have Spider-Man No Way Home on here because that's a triumph too.
Also another movie that does not have a happy ending.
Yep. When the not happy ending is done right, like, and we care so much, it hits hard in a good way. All right, guys. Funniest Marvel movie that they've ever made. Natasha, you want to hit us with yours?
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes!
Yeah.
Genius comedy.
So good. That entire movie just, like, flipped Thor on
its head. It's a brother movie.
It is a brother movie.
I love it so much.
I love Thor and Loki together. Yes. But, I mean, even, like, the Thor and Hulk stuff, too, was very brotherly as well. Like, it's a friend from work.
Yeah.
But
that was a genius line.
But I will never forget how loud I laughed when Thor was retelling the story of how Loki was a snake, and then he, like, transformed out of a snake. And I just remember Alex and I just, like, and we didn't even hear the whole thing. We just laughed because we knew the sentiment was going to be funny.
It was very much like Olaf in Frozen 2 when he was retelling what happened to
Frozen 1, and I was just dying then too. And also, isn't that the movie where Loki goes, I have been falling for 30 minutes? And it was, like, definitely the start of his, like, hair flip thing.
It was so funny.
Tom Hiddleston's delivery, too, was so good. Was that the movie that they did Get Help?
Yes!
We're not doing Get Help.
Yes! And then they did Get Help, and it was awesome. Like, and then there's, when he gets to the planet, like, there's just this hilarious, like, Willy Wonka Jeff reference Goldblum scene when, like, Thor is, like, going through that weird ride. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, it's so funny. Everything in it is so well done, and I love the brother love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get better than that. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Thor, top notch. All right, Taya,
I just want you to know that I put this one just because you put Ragnarok down, because
I put mine too. I was
Ragnarok,
like,
is definitely, yeah,
it is.
But I said to be different. Guardians of the Galaxy. I just feel like that was such, like, a reset for the MCU. Like, they realized, oh my god, we can have so much fun with these movies.
Yes.
Like, this audience is, like, we rock with them. Like, soundtrack was amazing. I think there was a lot of moment, like Star-Lord dancing. Like,
there are so many moments. You know, like, Drax. I want that guy's leg. Yes. And I will get it.
Drax is my favorite. Did someone put down Drax?
Yes. No, I fuck. I
he
fuck
has so
Drax.
Many amazing lines.
Yeah.
Like, I'm moving very slowly. You can't see me. A line that could not be delivered by anyone. Delivered by him.
I went through such a Dave Bautista phase after Guardians 1 and 2 came out. I was like, I'm in love with this man. Like,
wow. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have down the Mary Poppins, y'all.
Line. Yes.
That hit. That was
Mary
great.
I'll never forget Comic-Con one year. We saw, what's the character name? Mary Poppins.
Oh, Yondu.
We saw a Yondu dressed in Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And he had the umbrella.
Amazing. Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Wait, was, like, I there? I saw that too. I feel
so.
Like,
I was,
yeah,
in our Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
I feel like the jokes in it are so timeless too.
They are.
They're still funny.
They're so good.
So good.
All right. I have Guardians 3 down, and this movie was, like, again, it was, like, devastating but also hilarious at the same time, and that is the best way to do comedy, because, like, comedy comes out of the tragedy, and you would be hysterically crying and then hysterically laughing, and, like, all of the comedy moments, I think, hit, like, extra hard for me in my theater, because I was, like, hysterically laughing, and, like, some of the times the theater was just quiet. Like, Okay, the moment where they get on that planet in the colorful suits and they're like pushing the buttons, like, I was dying. They couldn't stop. Like, the blue button means green. And, like, just, and then he's like pronouncing his love to Gamora. Yeah. And like everyone can hear you, and this is so embarrassing.
Dude, whenever Nebula couldn't open the car door, I
was oh my god. Okay, I have a joke like that in my new book that I was writing, and then when it was in Guardians, I was like, oh no, everyone's gonna think that I took this joke from them. I left it in because I still think it's hilarious. But again, the writer of Guardians had the same exact comedic type of like humor that I had, and I was just like, this is perfect. I loved it so much. Yeah. So I can't remember. There were so many funny moments though. Uh-huh. Like, it was just, I need to watch it again. I haven't watched it again because it was like such a perfect first watch.
It's also like incredibly traumatizing. So I'm
Yeah, I know. But like, I want to watch it again also because of the comedy. It was so strong. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like vaguely remembering when they're trying to escape that place with the people,
with the yeah, our earth, but not
like the place that they went into with the suits, like, oh, that was really funny, like with the girl. Oh yeah, I thought she was really funny, that receptionist girl that he hit on. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, she likes me or whatever. I can't even remember. I need to rewatch. It was so funny.
Also, I think it was like the first time we saw, I think our characters like used the restroom, and like Gamora was like going to the bathroom.
Yes.
Wait, when did she go to the bathroom?
It was when she was on the ship by herself, and then someone.
It was when they had landed on the planet.
Oh, yeah. On the not Earth planet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. As we wrap up here, I want to hear a story of one of your favorite memories of seeing a Marvel movie in theaters. Tay, you want to kick us?
Worst memory here. Like, I seriously, I think my earliest memory that I can recall right now is...
It doesn't have to be earliest.
Seeing... Well, yeah. But, like, seeing Endgame in theaters. Like, that is one of the only times I remember.
Wow, that was a recent one.
And it was traumatic. Wow. Like, I was crying. Yeah. It was... This was my... Okay, this was actually kind of cool. Okay, so I was still in college at the time. I was, I think, in my sophomore year, and I was finishing up finals because it came out, April 28th? Why do I know that?
It was that time. It was right before my book came out, yeah.
That's embarrassing.
2019.
Yeah. And it was a Friday, and I wanted to go see the movie, and it was my last day of finals week. I had taken 5 exams that day, pulled an all-nighter, and I lived in Orlando at the time, and I was like, I'm going to go to Disney Springs after my finals, and I'm going to go watch this movie. I am a dumb bitch, and I didn't buy my ticket ahead of time.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, it'll be fine, whatever. So I get there.
You
went by
yourself?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I get there, and I, go to the theater. They're like, we don't have tickets. Like, what? And I'm like, fuck. And so I'm, walking around Disney Springs. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. I worked so hard, and I didn't plan, whatever. And I just happened to, swing by again on my way out, and they're, a theater literally just opened, 30 seconds ago. Like, they had, made a new screening that night at the theater, and they were, it starts at 7 o'clock.
Shit.
And I'm like, oh, fucking bet. And so we, snag our tickets.
Bet.
And I, yeah, we, I was with a friend, but we got to go see it that night, so.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
You didn't get tickets.
Are you shocked?
No.
Exactly.
What about you, Natasha?
I mean, my favorite moment is your favorite moment, but I do have to say I have seen almost every single one of these Marvel films on the night before opening night. And it was so fun when I lived in my hometown because our home theater, our main theater, everyone was there. And it was, I have so many memories of running into people, and our entire theater for Endgame was the big one. And it was so many people from my high school and all who were in the community. We were all filling up that theater. And I remember seeing Endgame, and I sat next to Alex, which is usually never happens sometimes because he likes next to his friends. But we sat next to each other. And when Natasha died, I was racked with sobs, and I remember Alex putting his hand on my knee.
Aww.
And he was like, it's okay. And I'm like, But yeah, but I mean, that's not my favorite. My favorite moment is the one that Christine's probably gonna talk about.
Well, are you talking about Spider-Man No Way Home? Okay, yeah, I almost didn't talk about it because I thought you for sure were gonna talk about it.
No, okay. The best one.
So yeah, I mean, like, we've talked about this, I feel like, on the podcast before, but like Spider-Man No Way Home, I think we were all at that premiere, mm-hmm. and it was the most magical movie going experience I think of like my life. Like, we were all in a theater full of fans, mm-hmm. that were so excited about it. And that movie was a roller coaster of emotions. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, I feel like at one point Natasha was like, shh.
Yes. Because
I was like talking. Was I saying
things? No. It was, you were moving so much that you were disrupting the person on the other side of you. And you were like, this was her, like, violent on me.
Oh my God.
I'm like, stop.
And there was just like so many Easter eggs in that movie, like when Daredevil showed up, and then like, of course, like all of the different Spider-Man showing up, and like, I hadn't seen one trailer, I didn't see posters, like I was spoiled for like just seeing the poster. I was like, wait, Doc Ock is in this? Like, I didn't know anything, and it was just so nostalgic, and just the Green Goblin was like perfect in it. Like, I had such visceral reactions. I was wearing a mask. Some people weren't, like, some people were past it by like that time in December 2021, but I was like still in it. And my mask was just like covered in tears and snot. like with Aunt May and everything. Like, I was just hysterical.
Yeah, I'll never, like, I hope says this is a spoiler if you haven't seen No Way Home, but yeah. I will never forget when all the Peter Parkers came on screen, yep. in No Way Home. Like, how excited, because we
screamed, the whole theater screamed,
and yes. and like, we're like, yes, like, it's good, is it gonna happen? And they did such a good job of lying to us, and I was so happy for that, and that we got to see it,
yeah,
also like on premiere night before anyone else did, and
yeah,
before we got,
there was
spoiled.
Just so much hype, yeah, that really like made the experience,
yeah. I'll never forget the shot, the specific shot of Zendaya falling, because like that shot has burned into my mind from the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, like, and when Gwen is falling, and like, I immediately started just like, like, because I was like, he's gonna catch her, and they're gonna come like full circle with his loop, yeah, and it yeah. was so beautiful. There were so many full circle moments like yeah. that hit home in the most beautiful way. Like, they did it so, so well, and again, no easy feat bringing in all these different timelines, really, yeah. and they killed it. Yeah. I have down Avengers too, because like I said, that was like what brought me in, because like, I thought I was like a Justice League girl, because I watched that cartoon growing up. Did you guys watch it?
I feel like everybody was like, was a DC person, right?
Yeah,
like,
we were. Yeah.
If somebody asked you to name a superhero when you were little, you're gonna say Superman, right?
Yeah, or Batman.
Or yeah, yeah, who was gonna say Iron Man,
or like the Wonder Twins, like
Wonder Woman, even, you yeah know? But like, yeah, yeah,
I mean, they, Marvel did a good, amazing job by
making, they made themselves relevant,
yeah, making us care and making yeah. them relevant again, because yeah.
I didn't know anything about these people.
I only knew Captain America and like Spider-Man.
I didn't know anyone but Spider-Man. Yeah, because like Spider-Man cartoons were on, like, I watched Cartoon Network, so I saw all these like old cartoons, I guess. I don't know when the Justice League cartoon.
Well, and X-Men is Marvel, but they never had that property. And yeah. I watched the X-Men cartoon, so
yeah, so they killed it.
Good job, guys.
Good job. Everyone in like the viewer responses here, I mean listener responses, I'm so used to saying viewer, like, are getting so down on like how they're like just shitting the bed now. But the thing is, they were so good for so long, and I don't want their reputation to be like shitty because now they're like not doing as well, because they really were revolutionary in terms of like film in general. No one's ever done something like Infinity War.
They built a fucking empire, yes. based off of superhero films, yes. comic films, and I think that's yeah. they need so much credit for that, and yeah. like, I think people are holding them to this super high standard now,
yeah, and like, and they do need to take a break,
yes, yeah,
but like,
there's still their reputation forever, I feel like, will be like legend.
Yeah. That's what kind of like, what is the saying? Like, they hit themselves in their own foot, or
they beat the horse dead. Beat a dead horse. That's what it is.
Really graphic one.
They really needed to do what Hunger Games did, which was
take a break.
Take a big take 5 a break. Year break.
Run away with me for the summer. Okay. All right, y'all. We're gonna end this with, if you could cast an actor in the MCU that's not in it yet, who would you want to see join the team?
Okay, I want to see Adam Driver. Oh. Did you think I was gonna say Henry Cavill? Yeah,
I did. Henry's already. I would like that actually.
Henry or Adam?
Okay, she added Henry.
Adam Driver or Henry Cavill, just to clarify.
Okay. I would like to see Adam Driver as like
Snape.
That's Severus. Another franchise. Snape.
That's what I want to
see him as. Doctor Doom. Is that what, from Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Oh.
This is actually not my casting. I stole this from Tessa Netting. But she made me fall in love with this type of casting. And I would love to see him as like another villainous character in a big franchise film again, so that I can obviously fall in love with him. But yeah, I think he would come. I think like I would be obsessed with it again if he was.
If he was cast,
yeah. I don't want to see Henry. I think Henry's already done Superman. He doesn't need to be another superhero again.
All right. What about you, Taya?
Listen, I'm in my Andrew B. Feldman era. Who? Do you guys know who that is?
Wait, no. I've heard the name, no, but I can't put a face.
He was in Dear Evan Hansen.
Is he the movie that everyone hated?
Feelings, no Hard Feelings. He was the kid. Yeah.
Oh my god, right now. Saw you put him on your stories and I was like, wait, does he have a YouTube channel? What is this?
I think he's still like 20.
20?
He's younger. And he made it to Broadway while he was still in high school. Like, he was in Dear Evan Hansen. He posted on Instagram.
Did I see him in Dear Evan Hansen?
Maybe. Probably. Oh, shit. He's incredible. I'm obsessed with him. But I would love to see him as one of Wanda's kids, one of her twins.
That makes sense. Yeah.
As like Billy, I think that'd be really fire. So Marvel, get on it.
Mm-hmm. I don't have thoughts on this. Like, I don't know any new character. I feel like I'm kind of out of the universe right now. I'm like in the old universe and not in the new.
Well, do you have like an actor that you would just love to see like show up?
Only if the movie was good.
Let's say the movie's good.
If it's a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, maybe I could see someone coming in. Robert Pattinson.
Oh my god. I mean, yeah, but he's Batman.
That would be so funny, actually.
That would be iconic, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, him joining the Guardians would be hilarious. Mm. I don't want to really see him playing Batman more, because it's kind of boring because it's so close to who he always plays. Like, if he played someone, like, funny, I feel like that'd quirky. Be hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. Like a weird person.
Because he's weird.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like weird in a funny way, like kind of like Star-Lord, rather than weird in like an emo, I love the color black way. Like,
the sun hurts.
That's always him. I don't go out in the sunlight. All right. All right. We're going to wrap up with Mary Kiss Cliff. Wanda or Thor?
Mary Kiss Cliff.
Yep.
Ooh, brother. Somebody go first.
Okay. I am going to marry Thor.
Surprise, surprise. That took too long.
I know. I was, yeah. I am going to kiss Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to Cliff Wanda.
Cliff Wanda.
You know, I feel you on this because I'm kind of scared now with Wanda.
She's a little scary.
She got scary because they've destroyed her.
But what's a kiss?
What's
a kiss if it's poisonous?
She's brokenhearted.
What if she eats your tongue?
Why would she eat my
I don't think she's emotionally available.
Why do you need that for somebody that you're kissing?
Because I want to kiss Loki, okay?
Don't want to kiss someone who's not emotionally available.
Okay, me... Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to second that, right? Because Thor... Mm-hmm. I want to stare at that every day. Okay.
Yeah.
Loki, I do kind of want to kiss him.
Oh my gosh. Like, and it could be like
be so much fun.
A brother's love triangle.
Wait, I'm totally going to do that because that's my favorite.
Our favorite thing is we love brothers
who are in love with the same person.
Yes.
I am not into that. Okay.
Vampire Diaries, wait, Summer I Turn Pretty.
I've never watched any of that.
What? Taya, what?
Oh my God, now I know what we have to watch next.
Wait.
I'm just not into it.
Wait, do you know that you're not into it though? Because The Vampire Diaries is excellent.
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. Okay.
Give it 5 episodes and you will be hooked forever.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll get back to you guys on this.
My college roommate, my senior year roommate, she said that like, and then she was in her room for 72 hours straight and she came out and she's like, Christine.
Watching it this entire woman. Time.
All right. So you are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to do the same thing too.
Oh no.
So we've tripled down on marrying Thor and kissing Loki and cliffing Wanda. And then if I kiss Loki, maybe I could find out, be friends with Taylor Swift.
He just definitely does not keep in contact with Taylor
Swift.
No,
but maybe he has his contact information and then like somehow it could be like, hi, I want to be your friend.
I feel like Chris Hemsworth might have a better chance.
I would agree.
Because he might be more of a kin to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
Yeah.
They seem like they'd get along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So that wrap.
Who just called Chris out? It was Aquaman. What's his name?
Jason Momoa.
Why did he
called out for what?
Because he's like, look at my guns. I didn't have to work for them. And then Chris is like, yeah, they're all padded. They just had like a little social media.
It was a cute thing.
All right. Well, I think that is going to be our first Marvel episode. That was so fun. Thank you for being here with us, Taya. Yes, can you let everyone know where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah, my username is my name. So it's Taya, T-A-Y-A Miller-er with two R's.
Two L's, two R's. Just in case they spelled it M-I-L-E-R.
Yes, exactly.
It's M-I-L-L.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. Post a lot of Marvel shit.
Her links will be in the show notes. I was gonna say description.
That's much more efficient. Yes.
Yes. You can find those forking fangirls also on social media. Our links are in the description, but we are at those forking fangirls on Instagram and TikTok and on YouTube, and then it doesn't matter on Twitter, but we're like at fork fangirl pod or something. Links in the show notes. But we are so glad y'all hung out with us today. Thanks for being here. And we release episodes every Friday. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
I'm Taya.
And we'll see you next time. We're about to go record Fangirl Tea Time. So if you're interested in listening to that, you can get it on our Patreon from the $5 tier and up. And
also, thank you so much to our editors, Alex Bullis, Jake Needham, Chloe Lowerson.
Thank you.
Does our socials and music by Cole Jenkins and vocals by Heather Traska. We will see you guys next Friday.
Bye.
I messed up our outro.